Okay, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord God, we just love you. You are so awesome. You're just a wonderful God. I just thank you that you that show us all the treasures of darkness and hidden secrets of these hiding places that you have. Your hiding places are in your word, Father, and you give us truth in your word. And I thank you, Father, that you don't hide them so that you can keep them from us. You hide them so that the enemy doesn't know, and that we can just go into your word and search them out and learn and know truth and understanding. And I just thank you, Father, for your word tonight, that it is going to go forth with power. You know, I confess that. I believe that, Father, because it's your words. It's your Holy Spirit words. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the mouthpiece tonight. And I just thank you for the anointing that comes with this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Tonight's lecture is on your words determine your destiny. And the first section here, I said, agree with God. Like I was just telling you a moment ago, we need to learn to agree with God's word about our circumstances and our situations, not about the situation. You know, too many times what we do is we're constantly talking about the situation, and we go to a friend and we do you know what happened to me and this and this and, well, you know, as women, we like to do that. We were talkers. What did pastors say? We have to have 25,000 words out in one day or something. Whatever, I don't know, whatever it was. Well, you know, we're women of words. We're women of the word too, though, right? Women of worship, women of war, okay? But we're women of words. And so if you want to change your circumstance, you have to start changing the way you speak. Because God says there's power in your words. And we are to prophesy life into our into the life of other people and people we love and into our own life. I listened about 5 or 6 months ago. Joe Osteen he was talking about prophecy, and he was talking about prophesying to yourself. And I thought, that is so good. That is so good. You know, we need to speak to those dry bones and command them to live, you know, in our lives. And so, you know, we have to be doing that, you know, because we got power in our words. Just like God told Jeremiah, speak to it, you know. Do you think they can live, Jeremiah? Ezekiel? And Ezekiel says, well, I don't know, you know. And the Lord didn't prophesy to the bones. He told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. He said, you prophesy to the bones, and they'll live. You know, so God was showing him way back then that there was power in his words. And that's what we have to do. We have to start prophesying to every situation that we don't like in our life. We have to start prophesying and commanding it to change. In the name of Jesus, we have we have three powerful weapons. We have, you know, the armor of God, but we have weapons. We have three powerful weapons. We have the name of Jesus, the word of God, and the blood of Jesus. And they're three power weapons that if you understand and allow that the understanding of them to go deep in your spirit, there's nothing we can't do. I mean, truly, truly, because he's given us everything we have, plus a full armor to put on. I mean, shoot, when the bad devil looks at us, all he sees is Jesus. You know why? Because we have his armor on. We confuse the enemy, you know, unless you're running tail. You know, there's no armor for the back of us. But anyway, go to Job 22. I want to share with you, you know, I've been talking over the last three sessions about your words being legal and that they produce. Here is the word of God says it right in Job 22:28. It says, you shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established to you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Now, you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established to you. Now, that tells me that my words are legal. I have to choose to believe God, and I do believe God. And I'll tell you what, since I've been doing this series, I have been really careful about my words. I've been correcting myself like crazy. And I have Benita lives with me. And where, you know, every time I say something and I'm back at, you know, it's kind of nice when you have someone who you can be accountable to. So I have to change my words around. It's like, oh, I didn't mean that. I take those words, I condemn those words in Jesus' name, and this is what I prophesy. So, but remember, if you say something you're not supposed to say, just condemn the word. Say, I condemn that thing right now. It's not going to produce what I just said. I'm not, even though I sent it out, I'm condemning it. See, we have authority to condemn it too. Because that's what Isaiah 54:7 says. Any tongue that rises up against you in judgment, it says you have a right to condemn it. So if my own words rise up against me, I will condemn them and say, you know, there'll be a none effect in my life. So, and then I just prophesy the right stuff over me. And we have to start learning how to do that. Things like, I am the head and not the tail. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and true, we do get afflicted because there's an enemy out there, but God delivers me out of all of them. You know, yeah, don't forget the last half of that. You know, some of us are saying, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and we go on with all these afflictions. You know, we forget the second half of that and say, you know, God delivers me out of all of them. You know, so I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I think that was your scripture last week, right? You all memorized that one? God and I are a majority. That's what I say. I say, he always causes me to triumph. He always causes me to triumph. I don't care how dim the situation is. I will be victorious in it. Because he has conquered already, and I'm just going to walk in that triumphant state. And so, but anyway, we have to start getting our mouth going in the right direction. See, if we're led by our senses, what happens, we can't agree with God because the thing that is happening to us is speaking so loud that we don't agree with the Word of God. It's speaking too loud to us. That's why you can't. You know, your feelings will speak to you. Your finances will speak to you. The pain will speak to you. The sickness will speak to you. It's always saying, it's speaking, it has words, and it's speaking inside you. Saying, yo, you really are sick. No, you are a mess financially, and you'll never come out of this. You know, but God says that he gives us abundantly. He said he came to give us life and give us life, not just give us life, which was Zoe life to start with. That's a wonderful life, but to give it even in abundance. So, you know what? I'll tell you what, I had a prophecy over me that I was going to be wealthy beyond compare. And so I said, well, Lord, that's fine if you want to do that, you know, financially for me. I'll agree with that most definitely. I said, but I want to be so rich in the Spirit. I want to understand your word. I want to know you. I want to know you more than anything else. I think about when God asked, what was it, Solomon in the dream? In the dream where he said, what do you want? I want to know you so I can, you know, take care of these people. And, you know, I have to know how to lead them. You know, he didn't ask for riches and wealth and all that kind of stuff. He just wanted to know God and how to lead the people. You know, and that's where our heart should be. But you know what? If you get to know your God like that, everything else comes along with it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these riches shall be added unto you. See, you know why? It's because as you seek after him, you find those hidden treasures in secret places that Isaiah talks about. You find the hidden treasures in secret places as you seek, because as you seek him, he shows them to you. Do you realize in Genesis, God told Adam where the gold was, and he said it was good? Go to Genesis. I'm not going to even tell you where. You're going to have to find it. He told him where the gold was. So if God thought the gold was good and it said it was good, that's good enough for me. But we have to start prophesying our future. We have to say what Mark says. We have to go and say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You know, we have to speak to those impossible situations, those debts, or your marriage, or your children that appear to be messed up, that they are kings and priests before our God. They are children taught of the Lord. You know, those are the kinds of things. I don't care what it looks like. Stop speaking to the problem to God and give him what he said. Start agreeing with him about the situation. You can't be moved by what you see. You can only be moved by faith. God says it is impossible to please him except by faith. That means that faith, you can't see it. But it's a material substance. You can't see faith. So if you're seeing something and you're agreeing with what you're seeing, that's a very dangerous place to be. You have to know your God and know that he will do mighty exploits through you. He said he would. He said he'll do mighty exploits. I don't know. I mean, I know people who lay hands on the sick and limbs grow out. That's the kind of mighty exploits I'd love to do. And that's my goal. And I pray Acts 4 over that every day. You know, that I do, you know, signs and wonders follow. And I know at one point in time that's going to happen. It's happening right now with Ryan, if you all read my newsletter. You know, it's just at a slower pace. I'm like, okay, we've got to speed this up a little bit. Show me some more hidden secrets here. What else do I need to do? And so, anyway, go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:23. This is what the Lord tells us we need to do. It says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Here God is telling us we have to teach our mouth. He's not teaching our brain. He says, teach your mouth. He's not increasing wisdom so your brain gets larger and, you know, more intelligent. He's saying, telling us to teach our mouth. And so we have to start teaching our mouth to agree with God. Too many times we're saying things that we shouldn't be saying. You know, we should be saying, I'm more than a conqueror. You know, God says that if you delight in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But we have to find out what's in our heart. You know, a lot of times you know what's in your heart by what's coming out of your mouth. You know, and do you want what's in your heart? Because that's what you're going to get. Because that's what you're going to be speaking. So let's put the right things in our heart. Let's believe for the right things. You know, I hate to see, I don't know about you, but I hate to see these demonic powers and these devils winning out on us. We are children of the Most High God. We are His ambassadors on this earth. We are supposed to be walking this earth with power. And if we're constantly living in the defeat, I mean, that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to make sure we stay defeated. They're there to make sure we know that we're not more than conquerors. That's their job, guys. That's what they're there for. But you know what? As they come against you, it makes you stronger. Unless you cower down to them. Don't cower down to the evil forces in this world. You don't have to say what God says. You know, God says I'm more than conqueror. I'm going to call it like God calls it. Call it like God calls it. Stand with God and He'll back you up. He will back you up. You've got to put yourself in a place where God has to defend you. It's like going out on a limb. You know, besides that's where the fruit is, right? You know, there's times when you have to say, you know what, I don't care what the circumstances are. This is what God says. I am agreeing with Him, and that's final. I'm going to put myself on a limb. I'm going to put myself on a limb for God. I'm going to put myself in a place where God has to defend me. And you know where that place is? On His Word. When you prophesy His Word over you and call things that be not as though they were, then you have placed yourself on a level where God will come and defend you. He has to, because you're on His Word. He will come. He'll send the angelic host. They're here to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. And so I remember when Pastor was doing this series on the tongue, he said, conviction plus confession equals change. Conviction, and so plus confession equals change. And I wrote right below it, you know, believing plus speaking equals receiving. Same thing. Believing and conviction, speaking and confession, change and receiving. Same thing. He just said it in a different way. But that's truly what it is. See, the Word of God has a supernatural light within itself, within its seed, to actually fulfill itself. It's self-contained. It's able to fulfill itself. The Word of God is able. It's like every seed has a DNA, and it is able to produce itself. And it does. Well, the Word of God has that same thing. It's able to produce itself. Go to 1 Peter, and I'll show you what it says here. And some of these things, we just have to see it in black and white or red. You got a red letter edition. But 1 Peter, it's towards the back there, after Hebrews. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now that actually means that the word there is spermata. The Greek spermata comes from the word sperm, to where it produces life. So the Word of God is spermata. It's sperm. It's a seed. It produces itself. It will produce life in you. It abides, it lives and abides forever. So it's the living Word that produces. And so when you plant the Word of God in your heart as seed, you know what you're going to produce? The first thing we have produced was salvation when we came to Jesus, didn't we? Then after that, there's prosperity. We'll produce prosperity. It'll produce healing, deliverance, and any promise that God has promised in His Word, it will produce in your life. It will. But you know where it has to go? It has to go in your heart. And then you have to give it time to grow. You know, you don't plant a seed, those of you who love gardens, we don't plant seed and go out there the next day and dig it up to see, well, is it still there? Is it doing something? No. You just plant it there, and you nurture it. You make sure you put some fertilizer on it. You water it. You know, make sure, you know, the sun doesn't scorch it or whatever when it's coming up, if that's necessary. You know, you do whatever you do to make sure your garden is right. Pull out those little weeds around it, you know. And this is what we have to do. So when you plant this, all this, and it's all through the blood of Jesus. This is because of what Jesus did on the cross that we have all the promises. The Lord said they are yea. And then what do we say? Amen. That's what it says. They all yea and amen. It's yea on God's part, amen, I believe. You know what amen means? I believe. You know, hey, be it, let it, yeah. And so it's a done deal. We say yes, amen. Amen. Well, I believe with you. You say yea, I say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now, I want to get into Exodus 14. So go on to Exodus 14 real quick. This, we're going to talk a little bit about the Israelites. This next session, I said, you determine your future by your past and your present. That sounds a little strange, but I'm going to show you something that was happening here in Exodus 14. When the Israelites left Egypt, they had a little bit of an attitude before they came to the Red Sea, okay? You know, they were starting to complain, and in verse 11 of chapter 14, it said, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying? So this is what they're telling. They're saying, I said this to you. We told you this in Egypt. Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we would die in this wilderness. I'd say that was pretty negative. Here God sends them a deliverer who they were praying for. God delivers them, and then all they do is complain about it. I mean, you know, and so that's when the Egyptians were coming after them, and they thought, well, he says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And, of course, he opened up the Red Sea and did all, you know, all this kind of stuff for them. And go to 16, let me see where I can find that, 16:8. Actually, 3 it says here, in 16:3 it says, and the children of Israel said to them, would to God, in other words, you know, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So now they're getting hungry, and they're complaining, oh, you sent us out here, so, you know, we'll die of hunger. I mean, they were never satisfied. They were never satisfied. And, you know, this was after the Red Sea, okay? And then in verse 8, it says, and Moses says, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to be full, for that the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. Now, they're murmuring to Moses. You know, I was thinking about this today when I was reading this, and I thought, when I murmur, I'm not murmuring to you, Lord. I'm murmuring to my girlfriend. I'm telling her, I don't like what's going on with me. You know, I don't like this, and I don't like that. And the Lord's really showing me, oh, yeah, they murmured to Moses, but you're saying that they murmured to you. And he says, would you murmur against him? That's a capital H. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. You know, so when you're murmuring about your situation and complaining about your situation to a friend, you're really murmuring against the Lord. Truly, you know, that hit me. Okay, maybe it was just me today that God was trying to show me something. Because I was sort of complaining today about something. So that might have been just for me. But anyway, go to Numbers 14 now. Numbers 14. Now, they crossed the Red Sea. They got really close to Jericho. And Joshua, they go into the Promised Land for 40 days. They come back with this interesting report. 12 spies go in, 2 came out, Caleb and Joshua, saying, yes, it's ours. You know, it's a male land flowing with milk and honey. Look at these grapes. You know, one cluster of grapes, 2 men had to carry out. I can't imagine grapes being that big. The land of the giants, you know, even giant grapes. And so what happened was 10 of them came back and said, oh, no, I don't think so. There are giants in the land. And we're like little grasshoppers in our sight. And he said, we are grasshoppers in our sight. So they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And that's why they didn't get the Promised Land that generation. They didn't believe that they could take it. And because they didn't believe they could take it, they couldn't take it. So God had to wait until every last one of them died off. All but the 2 that came back with a good report. And in 14, it says, in 2, it says, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation. And said to them, would God that we had died. In other words, they're saying, we wish we had died in Egypt. Or we wish we would have died in the wilderness. But wherefore has the Lord brought us to this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. And then you go on down to, in verse 6, Joshua and Caleb are, you know, renting their clothes, tearing their clothes, and this is blasphemy against God, basically, they're thinking. And then in verse 7, it says, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. In other words, their protection has departed from them. For the Lord is with us, so don't fear them. So this is Joshua and Caleb telling the people. And what do they do? In verse 10, and all the congregation said, stone them with stones. They were getting ready to stone Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua. Because they were so, you know, they didn't want to hear what they had to say. And then, which is really sad, now go to verse 27 in that same chapter, 14:27. And the Lord spoke in 26, and the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? So in other words, if you're speaking evil and murmuring and complaining, God is that's evil in God's sight. Which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Listen to this part. Say to them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. And from that time on, they died. They wandered in the wilderness. You know, it was only supposed to take 11 days to get to the promised land from there. 11 days. You know how long it took them? 40 years. That's right, until they all died off. And the next generation had a heart for God. Had a heart for God. And they could have had it, and they didn't. And you know what? Your enemy sees you as you see you. If you see you as a loser, as a wimp, as defeated, guess what? That's how the enemy sees you. But if you don't give him grounds for that, and you know you're a conqueror, you know, I know the devil's shaking their boots over me. I think they do if they have boots on. But I think so, you know, because I don't like to give them any grounds to think that, you know, they're going to defeat me. I mean, anytime something has come against me, I said, you're giving me firepower. You're giving me firepower because I'm getting strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because the more I have to fight you, the stronger I get my muscles, my spiritual muscles. So bring it on, you know. But anyway. So it's prophesy victory. Give God the opportunity to bless you in abundance. Don't tell all the gory details of your horrible situation for pity. I do that. I've done that. I will not do that anymore. Please, but not for the rest of the night. Tomorrow I'll have to correct myself, maybe. But you know, we're normal. I'm normal. Believe it or not, I'm just like the rest of you. I have my challenges, and God has to, you know, the Holy Spirit says, I mean, what did you say to me? I'm more than a conqueror. I can do this. And so, because God says in Matthew 15:11, what comes out of the mouth defiles. He says it's not what goes in that defiles a man, is what comes out of a man that defiles him. So whatever you're speaking about yourself, is defiling you or is it blessing you? You know? We talked about containing those blessings. We want to contain the blessings. A lot of times, we think we're reporters. You know what a reporter does, right? He you know, reports the past news. We're not reporters. We're forecasters. We're going to tell it like it's going to be. Like, you know, the weatherman. And most of the time, he's wrong. But when we tell it like it is, according to the way God says and agrees with God, that's the way it's going to be. We can have 100% sure thing because we're going to agree with what God says. And we're going to stand until it manifests. And we have to believe it's going to manifest. It's funny, about 6 months ago, you know, I was so sad because my grandchildren left and they were living in Oregon. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. So anyway, I had my pity party. And, you know, about 6 months ago, the Lord says, he goes, Jenny, he says, why do you keep crying about your grandchildren and you don't have time for your grandchildren? I said, why did you just prophesy? Okay. So I started speaking words that I have a relationship with my grandchildren, and I spend time with them. They're my heritage and all this kind of stuff, and I believe they're going to move back, Lord. I just got news today that they're moving back. It took 6 months, but that's okay. I didn't say it every day. No, maybe if I said it every day, it'd have been sooner. I don't know. But anyway, the Israelites in the wilderness in Deuteronomy 1:2, they had no vision. And it said, and you want to, if you want to find that it took only 11 days, took 40 years, that's in Deuteronomy 1, verse 2. So you have that in your notes. But they had no vision for their future. All they were complainers and murmurers. And Philippians 2:14 says, stop complaining. Do not complain. And I remember when I was going through a situation I was going through, the Lord came to me just, you know, like in my spirit. You know, sometimes you get that quickening and you just, wow, did I just hear that? Was that verbal? Was that, you know? And the Lord said, this is a test. And I went, this is a test? I'm not doing really well. This is a test because I'm flunking, you know? The Lord says, oh, you can't flunk my test. You just got to take them over and over again until you pass, you know? But he said, the longer you complain, the longer you remain. The more you complain, the longer you remain. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've been surely complaining a lot about this. And the more I complain, the longer I remain. That was the people in the wilderness. Do you realize that God continually tested them during that time in the wilderness, and they continually disobeyed God many times? I think there's like 11 or so times that the Bible at least tells us that the Lord asked them to do something, they couldn't listen to God. And they just complained. They were complainers. They were a complaining generation. You know, in our country, we're so blessed. We're in the best country in the whole world. And, you know, we have a tendency of complaining too much. You know, I've been to third world countries where I've seen how some of these people sleep. They sleep on the floors. This Samoan couple, when I went there, they had a little shack that was probably three times bigger than this. That was their whole house with no walls in a swamp. Mosquitoes. It was so bad that eventually their little baby got bit so bad that he ended up in the hospital. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, and all they did was praise God. And I'm thinking, wow, if they can praise God in that situation, I got a really nice house, family. I mean, I'm not, you know, having mosquitoes bite me every night, you know, unless I'm outside sleeping on this. But I don't, you know, and I'll tell you what, that we need to stop complaining. Because whatever you speak is a controlling factor in your life. Whatever you speak is the controlling factor in your life. It will control you. We need to start fearing the Lord. Because you know what? The Lord says those who fear the Lord have good days. And in Psalm 34:11, let's go to Psalm 34:11. It says, come you children, hearken to me, and I will teach you. Listen to this. Listen to this. The first step in the fear of the Lord for good days, okay? I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay, what is that? What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Okay, so we're going to see good if we have the fear of the Lord. So what do we have to do? Verse 13, what does it say? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Deceit. That's the first step, guys, is the fear of the Lord in good days. First thing God said, you want to get started in this whole process for being totally blessed by me? Get your mouth working in the right direction. Teach your mouth and keep your tongue from evil. And what is evil? Anything that's not a good report. Anything that does not goes against the word of God, what God said about your life. That's what an evil report is. And so, Proverbs 13:3. Keep going. Proverbs is asked after Psalms 13:3. It says, 13:3 says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And so what the Lord is saying is you have to guard your tongue to prevent calamity in your life. If you don't watch with yourself, calamity will befall you. And now you go on to 21, since we're right there, let's go to 21, verse 23. He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. So you have to guard your lips and your mouth to guard your soul. Now, what is your soul? It's that's the seat of your personality, right? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so your tongue will affect all those three areas. It will affect your whole personality. And so you have to guard that. And I'll tell you what, if you don't, well, You probably live in what you've been speaking. Go to Daniel. This is a neat one. This is where Daniel prayed and asked and talked to the Lord about some things. We talked about him before, but I want to show you some things in here. Go to Daniel 10:12. 10 verse 12. Chapter 10 verse 12. Now this is where he went on a fast and he starts praying to the Lord and an angel shows up to answer his request. And then said he to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. I am come." In other words, I have come as a consequence of your words. See, those words are power tools that will bring about change. They brought about the angels of God. God came to Daniel's aid because he used words, right words. Right words, faith-filled words. And so, you know, is there any angels coming because of your words to help you in a situation? You know, if you want the angels of God on your side, you have to be speaking God's word over the situation, not what's happening in the situation. And that's so, I know that's hard to do. You're saying, "Well, Jenny, this is happening to me. You know, I have to share this with someone." Okay. If you need to say, "Look, I am challenged right now. You know, my husband just beat me up." You know. But then, ask for prayer, but then go on and say, "You know what? But my husband loves me as Christ loves the church. I believe that. You know, he's a God-fearing man." I mean, start confessing the word of God over that situation. You know, that God protects me. He is a shield about me. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. He is my high tower, my refuge. In him do I trust. He guards me. He protects me. He is a shield about me. You know, these are the kinds of things we have to say. And speaking life into them, not death. We have a tendency of telling everybody, and we're just speaking death. And so here, God, he really did all he could do in this earth. He accomplished everything he's going to do. He sent Jesus. Now, we have to take with our words, with the words of God coming out of our mouth, we have to go with those faith-filled words and speak that the things that need to happen in our life. That's our part to play. That's why he did everything. He accomplished it all. We're his ambassadors. We have to start acting like ambassadors. How are ambassadors treated, you know? With the ambassador of the country sends them, and they give them what? All authority, don't they? You have authority to represent the country. You know, our government. If our government sends us as ambassadors to another country, we have all authority to act on behalf of our government. You know, we have power. God is saying the same thing. You're my ambassadors. You're daughters and sons of the Most High God. So we have authority. And we have power in our words. And so we have to start acting like, you know, we're somebody. We are somebody. You know, God doesn't make junk, right? Anyway, but if you're not saying anything of value, God won't make a worthless trip on your behalf. He's not going to send any angels on your behalf either, because it's worthless. The words you're saying are idle words. They're worthless words. They're not producing anything. They don't have the sperma of the word of God in them that produce life. Only the producing death, or, you know, or if you're not saying anything at all, you're just, you know, your circumstances are going to change, could change for the worse. You just give the enemy, you know, a chance to do more havoc in your life because you're not speaking against it. You're agreeing with them or not saying anything at all. So, God, I'll tell you what, God's not moved by our need. Did I say that? God is not moved by my need. He's moved by my faith. That's what moves God, your faith. Your faith moves God. There's a lot of needs in this world. You think about that woman who had the issue of blood. And he was going to help raise a little daughter. Well, the guy died. The little girl died in the process. But, you know, the guy came and said, "Raise my little daughter, Jairus' daughter. Remember, she was sick. Come heal her." You know, and so Jesus was on his way to heal her. And then this woman stopped him. And she said, if I can just touch his garment, I will be whole. She said it. She knew. She believed it in her heart. So if she touched it, it would happen. And she touched it, and it happened. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" You know, the apostles are like, "What do you mean, who touched you?" There's thousands of people around here. They're badgering. I mean, the crowd was so great that everybody's bumping Jesus, trying to claw at him. What do you mean, touched you? He's saying, what do you mean? Look at the crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? And he goes, no. Somebody touched me in faith and power went out of me. He knew it. See, faith is substance. He felt the power released out of him. And that's why she received, because she touched with faith. So we have to touch with faith. And so when we speak, God will come for our words. You know why? Because our words are his words. And he can't deny himself. He cannot deny himself. And so a lot of times we think, well, delay means denial. Not always. You know, maybe God will say, no, this is not good for you. This is not a good thing for you. And so just because there's a delay in the words of faith doesn't mean that God didn't hear you. And so remember, there's a lot of heavy things going on in the second heaven. You know, there's three heavens, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and this is the first heaven, and then there's a third heaven, the throne room of God. This is the second heaven. That's where the demonic powers are. And they're the ones that kept the angel from going and giving Daniel his message. So there are 21 days worth of fighting going on in the second heaven to keep that message from getting to Daniel. So a lot of warfare is going on. I remember years ago reading Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness, and he has a couple of them. And I remember the warfare and the stuff that was going on. And I said, yeah, that's true. That is really true, what he's putting in these books. That's really what's happening. There's warfare in the second heaven to keep the things from happening. And so, but anyway, so it's really, you really have to start speaking sound words. Go to 2 Timothy 1:11. 2 Timothy 1:11. All the T's are together. Okay, it says, wherefore I have appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know what I believe. There's a difference between knowing and believing there, okay? I know what I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard of me in the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And so what I'm saying here is, knowing and believing are two different things. You know, the devils believe and tremble. Do you know that? The devils believe and tremble. But Paul went beyond believing to knowing. He knew. He was confident that God was able to fulfill his word in his life. You have to go beyond believing to knowing. That you're so sure, you'd bet your life on it. The life of your children. You just have to know. You have to go beyond belief into knowing. And that's what he did. Because our words are very, very powerful. And why are they? We've gone through this before. Because God breathes into us. And his breath is what comes out of us. And we've talked about this one before. So you're not just a lump of dirt, okay? You have God's stuff, substance inside of you. You don't have just earth substance, which is the earth, the ground, the mud that you're made out of, the dirt that you're made out of, but you have heaven substance too, and that was the breath of God that he added to the lump of dirt, okay? And so we've got both inside of us. We are his offspring. And this is the scripture you're going to have to memorize. Go to Acts 17. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets who said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices. So basically, we are God's offspring. We have that born-again spirit that's what makes us powerful. Our soul, our personality. You know, it all talks about God having a heart and his soul and all this stuff. God said he even has that kind of stuff. So we're made exactly like him. So even our soul makes us powerful. Okay? And so the positive words of the unbeliever, I believe, they're hope words. They still have power in them because they still have the breath of God in them. They just don't recognize where it comes from. But my goodness, when a believer gets a hold of that, I believe our words are more powerful because our words have Zoe life in them. They have life in them. They have the life of God in them with a spirit that has been born again that's alive unto God. So I believe they have more life. So We have to start speaking words of life and be productive with our words, because you want to create a life worth living. How many people are you saying, you know, this life is not worth living? We need to create a life worth living. And you can't start planting in an emergency. You have to start planting ahead of time so you're ready for the emergencies. Those emergencies are going to come. God didn't say, maybe the trials will come, or if the trials will come. No, he says, when they come. You're going to have trials because they're evil in this world. You will have trials. Let's just get it out of the way. You know it, it's coming, but you'll be ready for it. You know why? Because you have the Word of God implanted in you, and you're a conqueror. And so you're going to make those faith declarations. And you're going to know that your God does mighty exploits through you. And that your words are words of life that produce the life that you desire. Words, I like what Pastor said, your words are time capsules. I thought that was neat when he said that. I had to write that one down. You know, they will come to pass in time. They're time capsules, that's all. In the right time, in the right season, they're going to produce. The question is, what is your life been producing? This is what is going to be, you know, I'm going to start this in class, but this is going to be your homework assignment this week. I created this little house. But what I have done, I decided, well, if I'm going to have you guys do it, I'm going to do it too. All these little things I've been giving you, these cards, what I've been trying to do is get you to memorize them and speak them forth every day over your life. Because they are words of life that I've been giving you to create your circumstances in your life. They're positive circumstances. And what I've done here is I created a little house. God gave me this idea, and I thought this was a Holy Spirit idea. But, you know, you want to frame your house with the Word of God. You know, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Let's frame our house with the Word of God. Let's frame our family with the Word of God. Let's frame our children with the Word of God. Let's frame our life with the Word of God. So each room you're going to have, like, say, for instance, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then you've got a lot of these other scriptures that I came, you know, Psalm 91:1 on top of the roof there. That's the covering. You know, if you all read Psalm 91, where God protects you as you dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. So you're gonna find some of the scriptures in the kitchen where, you know, you feed me food that's convenient for me. You know, maybe that one you might have to stick on your refrigerator. So, but all of these things, this is kind of what I did. And then on the back of the sheet, you'll see that there are lines that I want you to fill in right out the scripture. And be looking in that. Put this on the refrigerator when you're done with it after the week. Each day you're going to have a room to do. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to have to go into your index, look certain words, like you want peace in your house. You know, I want peace to be, you know, over this house. So, you know, put peace scriptures on the top or something, you know, or protection, like I did protection scriptures on the top. Start saying that God is the shield, my shield. Say that my children are taught of the Lord. Revelation, I think it's 5:10 is the kids' room where I said that they are kings and priests before God. My children are taught of the Lord. And so these are the things that, and I put protection because, oh my kids, my goodness, kids need protection. So the things that they do today, you know, God's mercy must hover over them all the time, you know, until they come to their senses. They turn 25 or something. And so we need to have those protection scriptures that mercy follows them all the days of their life. You know, God's mercy will follow them to keep them safe when they're acting stupid, you know? Really, they do. They act stupid. Some of us act stupid now. Sometimes I act really stupid, you know? So, but these are the things you want to do. My favorite that I love to speak over my children is in Ephesians 1:17, 18, and 19. I pray this over myself. I pray it over my husband. I pray it over my children, my grandchildren. I just include everybody in that one. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. See, I want my children, my husband, myself, my grandchildren to have wisdom and understanding. So I pray Ephesians 1:17, 18, and 19 over them. So I'm just kind of giving you one. I gave you a couple in your notes so you can get started on it. But what all I want you to do is do a few in class, take each other's numbers, okay? The more mature in the Lord that knows where these neat scriptures are, need to help those who are new in the faith, okay? Because that's what the Word of God says. Those who are mature, help those who have just come into the faith. You need to get each other's numbers. Those of you who don't understand how to do this, you need to call someone who is more mature, has been longer in the faith to help you. Make sure you can call your leaders, have them help you. And then I want you to bring it to class next week. And you're going to share what you found with each other. Because you're going to find a scripture that I never thought of. I wish I could be in your class and I could listen to all these. Can you all write them all down for me? I get a copy of everybody's notes. How's that? Your homework. But this is what you want to do. And you're going to find things in with each other that you're going to be able to bless each other. You know, a new person can find some powerful gem in the Word of God that I may have overlooked. See, that's the beauty. See, the same Holy Spirit is in you. And He's going to show you and direct you to wonderful things. But then what you have to do is you have to turn that page over when you're done and start prophesying and learning those scriptures. Writing them out if you have to and putting them in the different places. You know, put them in your room and saying, before I go to bed, I'm going to read all these scriptures that have to do with my children. You know, read them and prophesy. I prophesy into the life of my children. It is written. Say it three times. You take medicine three times a day, right? Say them three times a day. This is the life of my child. This is what my child looks like. This is what my husband-to-be looks like if you don't have one. You know what? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. My husband's looking for me. You know? What the heck? Why not? So somebody told me a long time ago they learned how to keep their hair by the Word of God. So the rest of the family went bald. So, you know, I'm prophesying my weight right now. One day you guys are going to see me at 112 pounds. I'm going to lose that 20 pounds. I'm losing it now in Jesus' name. But anyway, I'm going to prophesy things in my life and prophesy things. And then don't be afraid to share the testimonies. If you have testimonies of what you've been prophesying has come to pass, you need to share it with each other. You know, these are the testimonies that how good God is and what He's done for you and how His Word really works. And it's brought life and health into you. And so, Father, we thank You for Your Word today. I thank You, Lord God, that these are such neat little gems. Actually, what these are swords, Lord. Swords to defeat the enemy, to keep the enemy at bay in our lives. And I thank You, Father, that You give us words of life, words of healing, words of prosperity. You know, You say, isn't that interesting? You say, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. That is prophesying what You said, not what we're feeling, but what Your Word says. And I thank You, Father, that You've given us words of life this night. May everyone go home. And I ask in You now, Holy Spirit, speak to each one individually and show them the scriptures that You intend for them to frame their home with. And I just thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.